Welcome to worship at College Park. We are excited that you are here today. Several things we'd like to announce. First thing, we'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take that pew pad, write down the name, contact information, check the appropriate boxes, and then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on the pew. Once it gets to that last person, if you could, once you're done, tear out the pages that were used this morning and send that back so that that ushers can collect those at the end of the service. Several announcements. We'll start with Roger Jones. He's going to talk a little bit about next week's mission trip.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here. I've got some very good news. We've worked real hard to cut our budget down. We got a budget of $28,000. Tom Hurst and Charlie and I have been working on it, and we've got it down to a revised budget of $21,000. And Adlai this morning, I could tell you that we have $18,700, and I'll pick up a check tomorrow for the remainder of it. So how does that sound? Raymond told me not to worry about it, and it is it. We have still room for some people. We've got the least number of people we've had since we've been doing this project for 27 years. But we need a few more young people. We need a few more of you. We've got several projects going, so you won't be standing around. We'll be working on a couple other projects down there on Monday and Tuesday. If you're there, we will have a job for you. Won't be last year. We've learned about the inspections and know what to do, and it won't be held up like we were last year for that. I hope you'll consider going with us. We'll be leaving next Sunday morning, and we'll be there. We need a few more items in our household goods, so see the sheet and how we're doing on food lays. Neither one of them.
They must be working on the food. They're working on the food already.
Well, I think it's coming in. They've been working real hard on that. So come and be a part of it. It'll change your life. I can guarantee it will change your life about how we relate to others and each other.
Thank you. Thank you to Roger and all those that have worked hard on our Grifton mission trip. For those that don't know, next Sunday morning, our church participants will leave and go down to the Greenville area, go over to the Greenville area, and help build a home with Grifton Mission Ministries. And we're very excited about the opportunity that we'll have down there. And speaking of next Sunday, because we will be leaving and because there is a commissioning service of those who are going, we will have one combined service next week at 9 a.m. here in the sanctuary. We want everybody to be a part, both the recreation service and the 11 o'clock service will all be in here together at 9 o'clock. Also included in that commissioning service will be our groundbreaking. Some of you may not know, we are in the process of building new facilities out in the parking lot. We're going to be breaking ground next Sunday morning with that. So it'll be all within the same service. Worship is about thanking God. Thanking God for the privilege that we have to serve alongside Him, both here in Winston-Salem and in Grifton. And that's why we'll be worshiping next week. So we look forward to that celebration for what God is doing and to thank Him for all that He has done. So next week, there will be no 11 o'clock service. It will be at 9 a.m. here in the sanctuary. A couple other really quick things. Children's time today. We will have that a little bit later in the service this afternoon. Family ministry team is meeting at 4 o'clock. This week, many things are happening. It's our summer schedule. Preschool day camp is happening Tuesday morning. Our youth are meeting Tuesday afternoon. And then Wednesday night, the church is meeting for Bible study and an ice cream social. So we want you to be a part of those as you're able this week. Want to say a huge thank you to our church and those who were able to be a part of Family Mission Day yesterday. We had a little over 20 people that went to Miss Reba Martin's home. It's a grandmother who lives over off of Jonestown Road. Her home, she's taking care of three grandchildren, and a very sweet lady. Her home needed lots of repair, and we were glad to go and be a part of that. You should have seen the group. It was a lot of fun. One of the gentlemen was there. He remarked about our team, how diverse across the generations that we were, from 4 years old up to years old. I mean, we had people of every age, and it was a beautiful thing to see teenagers with their parents and sisters with their younger daughters, with the college Parkers working, scraping paint, painting paint here in our community. God used our church yesterday in a mighty way, and I'm thankful for Family Mission Days. We're going to have another one on August the 11th, and so we want you to mark your calendars now to be a part of that. We'll be going back to Miss Reba's house. There's still more work to be done, but there'll be other projects as well. So I want to say thank you to this church, because we do make it a priority that across the generations we have relationships with one another. And it is vital to our church and who we are to remember that this we are the picture of who God intends for his body. And that's what we did yesterday, and that's what we do in worship today. That's why we've come together. We want to say a special welcome, especially to our guests this morning. We're thankful for your time. We're thankful for your presence in this worship hour. We'd like to give something to you. You gave us your information a moment ago. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. Inside the packet that you'll get is a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation, as well as a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church, and a little bit of the story or the history of College Park. So we're blessed by your presence today, and we ask and we hope that God will speak to you in a mighty way during worship. It's the middle of summer. There's a lot going on. It feels like it's the busy time of the school year with everything. We've got vacation here. We've got mission trips. We've got day camps. We've got this camp. We've got work deadlines. All these things that kind of, we think summer is really down. It's not so busy. But we can make things really busy, can't we? We can put things into our lives that make us feel better about who we are when we accomplish things. But God wants to remind me this morning, it doesn't matter what's on my to-do list. It doesn't matter how many things I accomplish. It doesn't matter how big my title is on a business card. It doesn't matter. The only thing that truly matters today or 100 years from now is my relationship with God. You and I, in this time of worship, this is our time to be in corporate relationship with God. We get to be in his presence this morning, as we do every day, but together as the body of Christ. It is a cherished time that we should not waste. Let us prepare for worship.
To him who sits on the throne.
Will you pray with me? Father, as we begin this time of worship as a body of believers, we are united in the fact that we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our purpose. He is the very reason that we breathe. The Father created us, the Son saved us, and the Holy Spirit sustains us. And Father, those without all three of those things, we could not be. And so, Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. This time of worship is for you. May everything that is thought in this place, everything that is said in this place, everything that is prayed, everything that is sung, everything that is spoken, be done to glorify you. Remove all other distractions, all other issues, so that we may focus on you for this moment in time, so that you may speak to us and remind us who we are and who we belong to. Thank you for being in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, come down. Come on down. Crisscross applesauce right here. Crisscross applesauce. Don't hit each other. Jared, take a seat, man. They're all coming. They're all. I know. Take a seat. Thank you. Crisscross applesauce. Are you listening? Okay. All right. I have a question. Everybody looking this way? Jared, you looking this way? Good job. Crisscross applesauce for me, Avi. Crisscross applesauce. Thank you. Very good. Crisscross applesauce, everybody. All right. Here, got a question. What does this look like right here? Waves. All right. Does anybody, some of you know this story. There's a story of Jesus and some waves. Does anybody know that story? Jesus walking on water. That's a really good one. Okay. Yeah, there's another story about waves and Jesus. What happens when you see big waves like this? There's a hurricane coming. There's some kind of storm coming. Have you ever heard the story about when Jesus calmed the storm? You know that? Some of you talked about that last week in Sunday school. I have a question. When you have a problem or something wrong is going on in your life, what are some of those things that are storms in our life or things that we have pain or somebody hurts us? What are just some things that happen to people? Can you just name some things for me? Okay, sometimes we get mad at people. Okay. Any kind of pain, any kind of what people hurt us. What are some things? Huh? Sometimes we cry. Some people call us names, right? What? We can be sad. But what are some, you both said sad. You both said, what are some things that happen that make us feel that way? People say call us names. Sometimes moms and dads, are you listening? Sometimes moms and dads, they lose jobs, right? They don't have a job. What else? That's pretty, they can be angry. You can have problems with your family. You can be in a car accident. Absolutely. What else? Okay. Yes. Yes. They bumped into each other. That's exactly what we're talking about. There was a car accident. What else can cause us hurt and pain? Any other ideas? These are really, really good. Sometimes war. Yes. What else? Fights. Good job. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we fight with our brothers and our sisters and our cousins. But let me ask you this. Okay, I need everybody listening. Looking this way. Hoping Jesus calms the storm right now. Okay, all right. Here's what happens. Michaela, are you listening? Here's what happens. Sometimes in our life, we have these things that happen to us. And we get mad and we get angry. And sometimes we don't know where is God when all this stuff is happening. Just like the disciples. Just like that, he's right next to you. That's exactly right. The disciples, are you listening? Are you listening? Jared, are you listening? Are you listening? Not right now, okay? Here's what happens. Jesus and the disciples were in the boat, right? And there was Jesus, he was asleep, right? And then this big storm comes up, and these big waves, can you do this for me? Big waves, everybody do this, big waves. Those are like little waves, big waves, big waves. Okay, good, perfect, good job. But then what happened? Then what happened? Jesus came and said, be still. And everything was still. Guess what? Those things, Jesus covers them over. He takes care of them. You need to remember that God is always bigger than whatever problem you and I have. He's right there with you. Just like Avi said, just like Pastor Raymond's going to talk about, all these things that cause us problem and pain, when we take them to God, he's bigger and he takes care of them. And he will walk through them with you and calm you and me so that we're not hurt and we're not in pain. Okay? And that if we still have problems, who walks with us? God walks right there with us. That's a pretty cool thing that he can come in and calm the storm. I know. So the next time you have a problem like that, who do we go to? Let's pray together. Let's pray. God, we love you. And we thank you for the truth that no matter what storm is happening in our life, you are bigger than our storms and our waves. Even when the storms feel so big, you're always bigger. Help us to remember to bring our storms to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go back to your seats now. Good job.
I think Jeff's going to have a sign-up sheet for those who want to do children's sermon starting in August or something. It's great to hear the kids learn the truth of God's Word and the stories of Scripture. They'll carry those with you. You know, it's funny to talk with people. The stories that they learned as children, most of them they can still remember. They may not be able to remember what happened last week, but you can remember those stories you learn as children, and what a valuable ministry that is. This morning we want to read a passage of Scripture. We're talking, and you've probably already picked up on the theme of worship, and that is what an all-powerful God we serve in the midst of storms, the storms of life. And on Wednesday nights here in the summer, we're talking about that, facing unknown storms and how to deal with that. And we're kind of focusing on that in worship this morning as well. And Job chapter 38 has a passage of Scripture I want to read to you this morning, which begins to address that in a slightly different fashion. Those of you that remember the story of Job, it's a fascinating study for a number of reasons, and at some point we may do a preach through Job because it is a fascinating book. But in chapter 38, I'll read the first 11 verses to you, and you're welcome to take your Bible if you'd like to join in reading. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" Wow. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Or on what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed the limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no further, here is where your proud waves halt'?"
The sun, where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? Who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation tell. Let this life within me cry, I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken. They conquered death to bring me victory. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life blood he gave, and now he's alive, and there's an empty grave. Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer.
Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we know that you're alive and that you care for us. And Father, that you do all these things that we take credit for ourselves. And so we ask for your forgiveness now. Father, we acknowledge who you are as our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer. And we come before you and we place our burdens before you. We place our sin before you. And we ask you to cleanse us. We ask you to make our burdens light because you will be the one who will carry those for us. God, we claim the victory that you conquered over death through the power of the cross and the resurrection. We claim that in our own lives. And Father, we pray that you would remind us to live as children who belong to you, who are empowered by your Spirit. So that as we go in your name and as we touch lives and as we bless others and as we minister, Father, that you would receive the glory, that we would be used, but you would receive the glory. God, we thank you for the privilege of being your children, of walking in your path. We pray that as we go, Father, that others would see Christ in us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Our help, our leader, is our God. those who know me well know that I'm no computer whiz by any imagination, but from time to time I do read things that I enjoy sharing with others, and what I'm going to read to you now just seemed to be kind of appropriate for today for many reasons. It's entitled, Giving. The more you give, the more you get. The more you do unselfishly, the more you live abundantly. The more of everything you share, the more you laugh, the less you fret. The more you'll always have to spare. The more you love, the more you'll find that life is good and friends are kind. For only what we give away enriches us from day to day. And after I read that, I couldn't help but think about something that I saw on the news not too long ago. I actually pulled it up by Googling because a friend told me what she had seen, and because I'd missed it, I wanted to hear it myself. On WXII, they announced that the United Methodist Missionary Church, right here in Winston-Salem, paid off a debt of $2.4 million in less than 4 years, actually 42 months. Again, that was a debt of $2.4 million in less than 4 years. And it was right after we were discussing our vote for the endeavors that we are going to be involved in the next few years. And I couldn't help but pull it up, and I encourage you to do that also. I can tell you later, if you forget the name of the church, how you can listen to it for yourself. In that newscast, they didn't talk just about what they gave. They also talked about what they gave up. You heard the words of blessings of sacrifice over and over again. Again, if you listen to that, you'll never be the same. It's not just about paying off a debt. It's a powerful testimony of what God can do to advance his kingdom. I couldn't help but think about what a great legacy these people are leaving behind for their children and grandchildren, just as we are leaving our own legacy for our ones here at College Park. It's exciting to think about. Next Sunday, we'll be breaking ground for our new building. Pretty soon, there'll be hammers hammering and dust flying everywhere. What a wonderful opportunity for blessings each of us have. If we are all united, just as those members in that church, right off of 52, you can see it as you're leaving town, it's over on the left-hand side, it will be amazing what God can do with us here if we are willing to be open to his call. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings, and we know that we own nothing. Everything comes from you. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the times that we fail to acknowledge you, when we fail to be open to your call. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for the beauty that surrounds us, for this church and the members, and Lord, for the staff that we have been blessed with. We thank you for the missionaries who are serving the world over. And Lord, we remember that you're calling each of us to be missionaries wherever we are. We come to this time in our service where we have the opportunity of bringing our offerings and our tithes back to you. Lord, may you bless the gift and the giver. These things we pray in your name. Amen.
Lord is a mighty God. Do you believe that? Amen. Do you really believe that? Okay. All right. Less than convincing, but we'll go with that. It's interesting how conversations revolve in the community in regard to believers, Christians in particular. And it's common to hear Christians in particular talk about having a personal relationship with God. And I have a personal relationship with God. I hope that you do. Well, all of us have a relationship. It's just a question of what the nature of that relationship is. And as you read through the Gospels, you'll find many details, many intimate details in the Gospels that help us bond with God, to help us to know who He is, to help us to relate to God. For example, in the Gospels, we see Jesus as someone who wept at His friend's tomb. We see Jesus as a man who changed water into wine to help his mom, to help the wedding party at Cana. We see Jesus as a baby who was born in a stable. We see Jesus when He rested and when He prayed. And we can imagine that we actually know God. Can we really know God? I believe at a level we can. You see, having a personal Savior is indeed desirable, isn't it? Someone that relates to us. That's desirable. If God were nothing other than just vast and other, if God were just something, just a creative power that had no interest in personal relationships, what would we do when we were lost and hurting and confused? And what would we do then? You see, in baptism, when we accept Christ, we're welcomed into God's family. And family carries with it the implication of relationship. We're received into God's family not just as a generic human being, not just as a number. God welcomes us. God welcomes you. God welcomes me. Uniquely, He welcomes us. You know, we can imagine when we're so desperately in need of comfort and we can't find it in our peers, we can feel the presence of God. We can know that Jesus is here, that He embraces us, and that He is a listening ear for us. And we need that kind of intimacy. We need that kind of relationship. In fact, that's kind of the whole point of the incarnation. That is kind of the whole point of why God sent His Son to begin with. To know Him, to relate to Him, to feel that connection on a personal level. And there are times when having that kind of intimacy, having a relational God, there's no words to describe it. But then there are also times when we need a God of power, one who is definitely in control because we are so not in control. Sometimes we need this image almost of a dad, of a father, as we talked about last week, a father who will rescue us from our enemies, a father who will ward off the bullies in life. But sometimes we need a mother figure who will provide the order and the safety and the comfort when the world seems to be spinning out of control. And that brings us to the passage in Mark chapter 4 today. Speaking of world spinning out of control, the disciples must have felt like their world was getting rocked figuratively and literally almost beyond belief. And it's in Mark chapter 4. Actually, the story is in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll get to that in a little more detail in just a moment. But in Mark chapter 4, let me read these short verses for you. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. That day when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, and they asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Somewhat providential that this past Wednesday night in Deacon's meeting, Mike Beeson, as is our custom in Deacon's meeting, we open with a devotional, and Mike chose this passage of Scripture to deliver a devotional on, and I was sitting there knowing that I was preaching on this topic this morning, on this passage of Scripture, because as it falls in the lectionary reading, I thought, okay, this is kind of cool. God's allowing me to hear and to be ministered to while he's still working, while the sermon's still in Genesis, he is allowing me to hear those words. And it's really neat to hear what people bring out of this story. And a lot of it depends on where they are in life, what they're going through in life as to how you view. Sometimes we picture the storm and we're focused on the storm. Other times we're focused on the person of Jesus and what he does. Other times we're focused on the disciples and the fear and the anxiety and everything that comes with that. And it's really neat. It's really neat that God's word is so alive, and that God is a God that provides all of these things, the personal relationship, the God of power, the God of comfort, the God of strength. And our ancient forebears in faith understood that. They understood all the facets of who God is. Remember the story of creation. Let's just take that one for example. God's power to transform what was without form and void, nothing. Out of nothing, he brought order, he brought grace. And if you'll read the rhythm of the literature of the story of creation, it's neat how the rhythm begins. And God said, and there was, and God saw that it was, don't forget that. God saw that it was good. And evening and morning, then it creates, and God said, and there was, and God saw that it was good. And it was another evening and morning. Even in the telling of the story, we're comforted by the repetition. We can learn to expect what's coming next. It's comforting to me, I hope it is to you, that on the seventh day, God did what? Yeah, he rested. This order was God's great gift to us. And so too to those who yearn for what is next in creation. But there remain then there's places in our world that defy order, if you will, or at least it appears as such. The ancients talked about the Leviathan. The Leviathan. If you'll go back, Job 41, we read from Job a little earlier, three chapters beyond what we were reading, you run into the Leviathan. Psalm 74, Psalm 104, Isaiah 27. The Leviathan, that creature, that chaos incarnate, that this thing that seems to be undefeatable. The forebears in faith also talked about Gehenna, the place where smoldering fires burn always, a place of fear and unknown. The Leviathan, Gehenna, all the unknown, the things that we fear in life. What does that mean for us? Don't we yearn? Don't we yearn for order? When loved ones die before their time, or so we think, don't we yearn for order when circumstances or luck or fate or whatever you want to call it burdens us with differences that challenges us? Maybe even call into our question our own survival. Don't we yearn for order in those situations? What about the power of the natural world? which can change our world in an instant. Think about the storms, the natural storms that come about. Or what about the influences far beyond our control that pinch our very lives? You think about wars and rumors of wars, environmental destruction, poverty, whether it be in our own life or in the life of a loved one. What about family dysfunction that reaches back for generations and from which we're supposed to try to bring some kind of order out of chaos? When we know the capriciousness of life, when we are forced to, or when we allow ourselves to see clearly the tenuous thread that connects us to the life that we imagine, what about then? What about then? Where is order? Then we need a God who can stand up to the Leviathan, a big, a powerful, an almighty God. Then we, like the disciples, will come to Jesus asleep in the stern as the whole thing is being twisted in the wind, and we'll beg him, "Teacher, why do you not care that we're perishing? Do you not care that we're perishing?" And it raises a question, and Mike brought it up in deacon's meeting. Here are fishermen, guys that are raised and had been around the sea all of their life. But yet they're screaming out like a bunch of scared girls. No offense, girls. Especially. They're crying out like they're scared to death. What was the nature of this storm that scared these hardened fishermen to the point where Scripture says they were terrified? Some have speculated it was a storm of supernatural doing. Maybe it was. We don't know. All we know that it was so severe that they were scared to death. They were scared to death. What then? If we had been in their circumstances, what would we have done under those circumstances? The Psalms are full of these kind of appeals. You know, we call in, okay? We call in the relationship. We demand that God hold up his part of the covenant with us, don't we? We say, "God, where are you? Show your face. Get me out of this mess. Get me out of this storm." And because God is faithful, God will do so one way or another. Rarely will it be instantaneous. He will always do it, but it's in his time. In his time, God's peace will come. New life will rise, be it maybe sometimes slowly. This is God's promise. And he made that promise manifest in Jesus. And we can give testimony that even the worst is redeemed in one way or another eventually. And this is God's way with us, which makes Jesus' next question so difficult. Why? Why are you afraid? I acknowledge, I know it's obvious you're afraid. You're screaming at me. Why, though, are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Well, yeah. God, that's kind of where we are. You see, when we face the Leviathan, when chaos threatens to tear apart the world as we know it, when the rug is pulled out from under us, yes, we do. We panic. Even though we know from the witness of our own lives and from the lives of the body, I mean, how many examples do we have to cite of God's faithfulness before we get it? We know that God is faithful, so why? Why do we still panic? We've got a couple choices, actually. We can feel ashamed for doing it, or we can turn our eyes to the cross, when we will see once again the God who is like us in the sense that Jesus was flesh and blood. And we can turn our eyes to the grave where we will see that it's empty. And when we see both of these, the God of flesh and blood and the empty grave, we are reminded that we serve the God whom the wind and the sea obeyed. We have both kind of gods. We have a personal God. We have an almighty God. Jesus was in the stern of the boat that night, asleep on a cushion. That's what Mark says. Look at it. Are you looking at it? Verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. You know, the story is in all three synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark is the only one that puts that phrase in, sleeping on a cushion. Why do you imagine he did that? Matthew and Luke didn't put that phrase in. He was sleeping on a cushion. Why do you suppose that is? It's more comfortable. It's not a trick theological question. He was sleeping on a cushion because it's more comfortable. And we're reminded in that he wanted to be comfortable. He was God, but he didn't act in superhuman ways like we might imagine from cartoons or movies. He didn't sleep standing up. He laid down. And he didn't want to sleep against the hardwood, so he slept on a cushion. He enjoyed being comfortable. He had been with the crowds all day long. Like us, he was flesh and blood, and he was tired. And he wanted to sleep good, and it was hard to do with these disciples screaming at him. He ate, he slept, he loved, he got angry, he died. He was God become man, fully God, fully man. It's hard to imagine. But here he is. He's God, quite other, quite powerful, quite beyond our imagining. He is the one that can stand face to face with the Leviathan, whatever shape that monster takes in our lives in these days. And he is one who can stand face to face and say, "Peace, be still," and it'll happen. Because of his grace, we will be forgiven over and over and over again for our panic. We will be forgiven over and over and over again when he says, "Why? Why?" We will come again to believe that this God, both intimate and so beyond, is our God who loves us and promises us a future in his love. So as you leave from here, be filled with great awe. Be filled with great awe, for the wind and the sea obey. We're safe. We belong to God. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, as we read from your word, in our own minds, our own hearts, sometimes we question why the disciples behaved as they did. But with the next thought, we acknowledge we probably would have done exactly the same thing. We wonder what they expected when they woke Jesus up, because when he calmed the storm, they were amazed. What did they expect? Father, what do we expect? What do we expect when we cry out to you? God, forgive our lack of faith. Forgive our short memories of how you've worked through your people since the very creation, redeeming, sustaining, carrying us, walking with us. God, forgive our lack of faith. Strengthen us. Remind us of who you are, the promises that you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you don't know what it's like to walk personally with a Savior, with a God who loves you intimately, I challenge you this morning. I'll be here at the front in just a moment. We're going to stand and sing. I challenge you. I'd love to tell you how you can have a personal relationship with the God who created you and who loves you. If you are here this morning and you say, "Raymond, God knows that I'm running on empty. When it comes to the faith thing, I'm just stressed out. I'm facing storms. I just can't quite get through it. I can't see my way through it." We're praying for you. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, know that as a body, we are here to help you. And anything any of us can do, we stand ready to do so. If you're here this morning, you'd like to be a part of this body that supports one another, encourages one another. We call it College Park Baptist Church, but it's really just the body of Christ at this particular location. There are many ways we receive members. We'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing. After our benediction response, I encourage you to greet one another, offer a word of encouragement as we go from here. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go now, walk with us. We know you will. Father, allow us to see your hand. Allow us to see the work that is before us. Give us the strength, the knowledge, the insight to do that as we lean completely on you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.